Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now, thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at ZibbyOwens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Zcast Podcast Network. You can learn more at ZcastNetwork.com, and definitely check out those shows as well. Mary Lawless Lee is the author of Happily Gray, Stories, Souvenirs, and Everyday Wonders from the Life in Between. Mary Lawless Lee is a mother, writer, entrepreneur, and digital media personality dedicated to living creatively, chasing curiosity, and exploring the world through the lens of fashion, family, travel, and design. What began in 2012 as a compliment to her busy job as an ICU nurse quickly became a career of its own. Happily Gray, her now iconic fashion and lifestyle blog, amassed a following of over 2 million and serves as a loving space for readers to connect with Mary's stories and their own, journeying together through life's highs, lows, and in-betweens. A proud Nashvillian, Mary lives with her husband, Madison, their children, and great dates. Together, they run the Happily Gray Boutique and Nima, a self-care and skincare line for mothers. Welcome, Mary. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Happily Gray, Stories, Souvenirs, and Everyday Wonders from the Life in Between.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Okay, I have to be honest. I thought at first this book was about
you're going gray and like learning to deal with it and being happy about it. And as someone who is going gray, I'm much older than you. I was like, oh yeah, happily gray. I could be happily gray. I don't know. Maybe I should do that.
Do you know that so many people over the years see my brand because that's the name of my original brand. And they think that there's an association between the color gray, aging, or they associate it with like monochromatic gray tones. I only like muted colors. And so that's honestly a part of the inspiration. And the book opens with, this isn't about this, or this isn't about this. And it unveils what the meaning behind happily gray really is.
Yes. I, like you, do not have an easy time in like the gray areas of life necessarily at first. Like I have to fight against this whole black and white mentality, and you're sort of giving us the runway of like, well, this is a life, you know, we can live this way. It doesn't have to be all or nothing all the time. So I appreciated the messaging behind that a lot.
Thank you.
You have such an interesting life story, and it's really like you produced a memoir in photographic, very stylized form. It's like if a memoir were to become an Instagram post inside of a book, this is kind of what you'd get. It's like a compilation, a very visual interpretation of a life, which is super engaging and yet just as heartfelt and intimate in words as like a text-only type memoir in many places. So I loved that. I thought it was super innovative and really awesome as a huge memoir lover.
Thank you. I predominantly only read memoirs. I love memoirs because I can learn a lot from other people's journeys. And because of my history, my story is really told through pictures and over the last decade. And I wanted there to be that element to some degree within this book that was important to me. I felt like it would feel, you know, very familiar for the reader. And so we tried to balance it with, you know, not interrupting the words and not letting the pictures take over the words, but there being emotion through those photographs as well.
That's awesome. By the way, I wore a messy bun on your behalf. Do you see this?
I
was getting dressed this morning and I was like, oh no, wait, this is perfect. I'll wear a messy bun. And like, that's like invented by the author. It's perfect.
It looks awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you feel like you really invent, like, tell me about you inventing the messy bun and how it took off.
It's funny because it had nothing to do with a hairstyle, had nothing to do with me wanting to do hair how-tos or anything. It was like the messy bun came about. And I talk about this in my book around the chapter of social media, that I didn't, you know, it being a photographed and being in pictures, being kind of the face of my brand felt odd to me. It never felt familiar. And it still doesn't today. I still get camera shy. I still like tense up in front of the camera, and turning my head was my go-to. I would wear sunglasses. I would turn my head. And I always just, not that I'm a great hairstylist by any means, I just always like flipped my hair and it ended up being in a messy bun. And because people always saw the front of my outfit at the back of my head, it somehow I adopted. I didn't even know it, but a friend was like, do you realize that you earned this title of messy bun on Pinterest? And so then I started telling people how I did my messy buns. But it was a very accidental coincidence because it came from this, you know, motive of not wanting to show my face and connect my eyes to the camera, or, you know, it feel like I was doing this out of vanity. It was truly about the clothes and the fashion and the style, but kind of this awkward girl trying to figure out how to be in front of a camera that I knew nothing about. I was like trying to kind of function in that way, but really my passion was the fashion at that time.
Well, thank you for giving the rest of us the excuse to have our hair look like this and pretend it is styled. Yours really was styled looking, but anyway. So from the superficial all the way to the most personal ever, you wrote really openly and beautifully about your eating disorder. And you did it in a way where you started early on and you showed us exactly how it progressed. You talked about when interventions were attempted and how you would maybe get, you know, go in one direction and then veer very dramatically in another. And then you leave the reader with all these tips on sort of managing and dealing with things and being sort of in this place of recovery, but never recovered, so to speak. So tell me more about your journey. Tell the listener what happened, how it started, and like catch us up to where you are with it today, post two beautiful children who I feel like I know after your book.
You know, it had to be a part of the book. It's really, I think, one of the most important chapters in the book. And to be honest with you, I wrote the entire book without it. It was a really big step into vulnerability and honesty and trust to include that. But after reading the book for the first time, after I turned it in to my publisher for joy, I realized, oh my God, one of the most important pieces is missing in this book. Mm. I have to tell this story. This is one of the biggest struggles in my life. And like I say in the book, I am not recovered. I'm in recovery. This is a daily journey of learning and commitment. And I think anyone that's ever been through an eating disorder, ever struggled with an eating disorder, will tell you that it's kind of this lifetime thing that you take on, and you're always learning, growing, and evolving through it. And so it was important to me, one, to step into that vulnerability, because the other women in my life that stood up and said, hey, I've been there. You're not alone. This is not totally abnormal. Like, I've struggled in this way too. That's honestly, you know, what has given me the courage to continue over the last 10 years to do the work, to get honest, to share, to get the accountability around me that I need. And so that was, you know, I felt so convicted after I read that the book for the first time for joy, looking at that 23-year-old version of myself, knowing I have to share this story for other women, for my own strength. You know, shame cannot survive in light. And so when we open up and we let people in and we tell our stories, I believe that we're stronger and there's strength through that. And it's felt liberating to be able to open up and share. And I can't tell you the amount of women that have come to me that have said, I'm there, I'm here, you know, or I've been there, I'm here in my recovery and in my journey. And so it's been, you know, just in life-changing, empowering to have the opportunity to share it and in a way, you know, that was sacred through these pages. And, you know, I had thought about sharing it on social media because my platform, my brand, my job is all based on social media, but reserving it for these pages felt kind of like the sacred place. And then that hopefully opening the door for more of these conversations to happen. But, you know, my eating disorder is also linked in a lot of these other stories because it's tied to this perception that I grew up with, that life is black or white. Mm-hmm. It's this or that. You have to fit into this box. My journey was never kind of about necessarily having to be a certain number, a certain weight. It was all about control. And, you know, when you start really doing the work, the really, really deep work, you start pulling back the layers and you realize, like, a lot of it sometimes is not even connected to body image, but a lot of it can be connected to different layers in your life. And a lot of that for me was control and thinking that I had to kind of go through life with my pen, my little boxes, checking them off of exactly what I thought it was supposed to look like. And kind of through that, you know, was this unrealistic perception that performed that came about, and it just continued and continued. And through as different areas in my life, I lost control. That was where I found it. And, you know, it's just such a journey, and I've learned so much about myself. And someone asked me the other day, do you regret it? And I had never been asked that question. And I thought, God, no. I mean, I'm in a way I'm thankful, and I have a lot of, you know, grace for that time in my life. And this is what this journey has taught me, because it's definitely been a big part of who I am and my outlook on things. And so, you know, it's a part of my story, and it shaped me in a way that, you know, I don't think anything else could have. And I hope that by sharing that, I'm helping other women out there that are also going through the same thing.
That's beautiful. I mean, not only do you share the huge power of your support groups when you did actually find treatment that you found effective, but yeah, just all the, even just the details of it and showing us how your mind went to those places. I don't know. I found it just so mm-hmm. powerful, really, really powerful.
Thank you. You know, accountability and honesty, I find with this sort of work has been like the two key components that you have to get honest, and you have to have accountability around you. And it doesn't have to be like you have to go scream and shout it and tell 10 people. It can be one person. And for a long time in my life, it was only one person. And so I think if anything, I would say where to start, those are two great places to start in that journey.
Well, I like your sort of segue throughout the book to an area of complete lack of control, which is children.
Tell me about it.
I have four kids, so I know what you go through. I've been there. It does get, I mean, it sounds so trite to say it gets easier, but in some ways it gets harder. But anyway, it's true. I feel like once I personally was like, okay, these are the kids. This is what we have. Like, I respect who they are. And I'm just here to like, I can't shape them like they're some Play-Doh. Like, I am here just to make sure they're okay and like teach them right from wrong and like do my best. But I can't, because otherwise I was driving myself bananas. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I have a 1.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old, and I'm currently 6 months pregnant. So, I can only imagine, because you try so hard. I think like you exhaust so much energy by like trying to make sure like they're taking the right path. But at the end of the day, my husband and I talk about like we have to give them the right tool set and the right environment. And, you know, we have to also let them be people and let them fall and make those mistakes. Because, you know, I reflect back on my 34 years of living thus far. And those are the big moments, right? Like, those are the moments that really, you really figure out how to trust yourself, who you are. But that's so hard, especially when you're the parent, you know, you want them to succeed. You want them to do well. And so...
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Oh, I feel like I'm interested how things go with your third kid, because I feel like the more kids I had, the more relaxed in a way, only because it showed me how little what I did mattered. Like, they are who they are. So in a way, there's like grace in that, you know, because mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. And hopefully I kind of wish I had known that ahead of time, but maybe you just have to learn it on your own. Anyway, so you had your kids, you have this huge brand, and you also include your love story with your husband. And I love hearing how you met him, and like the two of you are so cute together. Tell me a little bit about meeting Matt and all of that.
It was wild. You know, I first talk about my divorce. I got married at 21 in my book. And I also thought that was a really important story to tell because a lot of other women go through that. And it definitely ties into this black and white life mentality. And
you were from East Texas where that was super common and like everybody was getting married so early. And
I mean, by 23, if you're not married and at least have a kid on the way or the plans to, it's odd, it's abnormal. And so I grew up with that mentality and I married and met one of my first best friend, my first love, thinking, you know, okay, this is it. And up to that point, I had not had any experience prior to that. And so I learned a lot through that experience. And that's why I felt like that story was so important to, it was a key experience in shaping me and getting me ready to meet the person that I actually was meant to be a life partner with. And Matt and I's story is bizarre. It is bizarre. We met through a friend, but you know, I was talking to him for the first time and I find out I'm sitting there listening to him talk and it's not what he's saying. It's his mannerisms and it's his voice. And I interrupt him mid-sentence because I could tell he was from the same area that I was from. We grew up within 20 minutes of each other and we'd never met each other, in Nashville 10 years later. We were born at the same hospital. It was just this bizarre familiarity. And our parents had dinner before we even met each other's parents because they had mutual friends. Once I was like, kind of dating this guy and he told his parents. So it was just, it was the divine timing and totally meant to be. We dated for 7 months. We got married a month before our 1 year anniversary of meeting. And I think, you know, it was one of those things that my mom has always said, when you know, you know, and I had never understood that. I mean, I got married at 21 and I never understood. I was like, something she just says. But when I met him, I felt that deeply. I felt that familiarity. And that life partner, of course, there's like a lot of passion and stuff, but you know, it was deeper than that. And so we just didn't waste any time because we really knew. And so, it's been really sweet being able to build a life together and have this familiarity sense of home. I think that has really grounded our relationship because we can each respect kind of our upbringing and where we came from. And we kind of align on this perspective of where we came from, but where we want to go and how we want to evolve our family.
Amazing. I love stories like that. You know, the people just like right around the corner, but you just never knew them.
So bizarre. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to get married. I knew I wanted to be a mom, but like, you know, it's at 30 when I was, you know, just single working on my career, it's scary, but I just assumed, maybe not for me. And so that was totally turned upside down in the matter of like one night, basically.
You also wrote really nicely about that and like what it felt like when all your girlfriends were having their babies and second babies and you had gone off on another track and really trusted yourself to leave something that wasn't right. And I'm also divorced and remarried, by the way, not to just keep talking about myself, but I feel like we had a lot of common. Yeah. And you know, it's not always so easy to make those decisions. Mm-mm. And so, you have this, I don't know. I think after that, there's this new perspective on life. That's all that like, you know, anything can change in a minute type of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, going through that divorce was incredibly hard and difficult and a darker period of life, but I wouldn't have been able to make the decisions I made had I not walked through that time. I mean, I really think that that's those darker moments, those lessons are so pivotal to be able to then get to where you're going. So I always try to encourage and also encourage friends, but then also remind myself when I am going through those times in life to like stay in them, stick with them, trust them, because there's reason and there's clarity that those moments are going to provide, you know?
Totally. Tell me about your whole lifestyle brand and how this grew and how you're running it and evolving and being an entrepreneur in addition to everything else.
You know, I kind of wondered transparently, I wandered into this world. So my background's in nursing. I worked 7 years in critical care nursing at Vanderbilt and the Texas Medical Center. I loved nursing. I loved critical care. I loved the challenge and the pace. But I also had a passion for writing. I have been writing and journaling since I was 11. Everyone asked me how long this book took to write. And I share that it was about a year and a half, but really I think I've been writing this book since I was 11 years old, like in my bed under the sheets with a flashlight. That's like really what it feels like to me, because I've always loved to journal, loved to write. And so that's why I randomly started a blog 12 years ago about fashion. That was a creative outlet for me. It felt like, you know, something I was doing for myself outside of work and this stressful, intense, heavy career at times. And so I just started writing about fashion. This was prior to Instagram, Pinterest, the social platforms, and influencer blogger was not a term. I certainly didn't set out. That was not the motive, but I paid my friend $50. We created a site, and, you know, it just kind of the timing of it. I was really lucky in that sense, that it was, you know, I kind of grew up with these social platforms. And over the last decade, that brand has evolved into a lifestyle brand in different areas of content, depending on kind of like, it's kind of followed the progression of my life as I, you know, bought my first home. I started talking about interiors as I was like, had the money to pay for skincare. I started talking about what skincare I liked, relationship when I got married, and then most recently becoming a mother. And I, you know, have always looked for the path to connect my past in nursing with this digital world that I kind of wandered into, and really becoming a mother was really the bridge to connecting those experiences. And my husband and I created a skincare line. It's a pregnancy and postpartum skincare line. We're launching kids this year in a few months. And really, that's been my greatest passion. The brand is called Nima, and I'm just so excited to evolve and grow this brand. It really allows me to kind of pull in my science, my math that I use as a nurse, and the nurturing side, the patient care that I love so much, and kind of embody that in this brand. And especially through motherhood, which I feel like is, I don't know, one of the most critical times that we need support around us. And I learned that through my first, and I couldn't get my hands on the products that I felt like I needed at that time. So, and I was just like, so shocked by when we started doing all this market research, clean, effective products that were just spoke transparently about their brand and who they were and their ingredients. And I couldn't find it. And then I started having these conversations with other women and other moms. And so that's been a very exciting new adventure that we've been working on. And we also have a store in West Nashville, if you're ever in Nashville.
I was there not so long ago for a book event of my own. But anyway, yeah, I'll come back.
Okay. Well, we have an awesome little store in West Nashville. We're part of L&L Marketplace. It's kind of set up like Chelsea Market, a lot of small businesses. And we just, you know, just shop Happily Gray has been an exciting new venture, a huge learning curve. I don't have experience in retail, but we have a brick and mortar and an e-com business. So yeah, it's evolved and grown in a way that I never expected it, but I love being an entrepreneur. I love the autonomy. I love the excitement of kind of the unknown and being able to work with, I work in an office with 9 other women and my husband. He's the only male in the office. And it's exciting. I just like getting to work with other women and, you know, being able to create and kind of dream together and work hard. We work hard, but we also, you know, play hard and really enjoy being able to kind of create together.
I love that. Yeah. I'm opening a bookstore actually next month. It's my first brick and mortar attempt myself. So I know what you're saying about like getting into it. I also work with all women here. It's really fun. We have like with all these brands, we have a team of 17 women and my husband who That's is awesome. Often having lunch with us. So it's really fun. I was just thinking you should come. I also put on these retreats around authors and books and everything. And we have one coming up in Charleston. I feel like you would have so much fun and you could even like give out samples of your skincare line to the attendees or be like a partner. I don't know if you have any interest.
Please send me the info. I also love Charleston and we haven't been in a bit. The food in Charleston is so good, but I would, please send me the info. I also would love to hear more about your bookstore. I have this obsession with bookstores. And I always, when I visit new cities, I always go in bookstores. Because I think there's like this warmth and coziness about them. And I there's like this homey sense of comfort. And so that's very, very exciting.
Yes. I'll send it to you once when we get off. But yeah, I literally have my contractor for my house made my store. I was just like, just do the same walls as our house.
That's anyway. Awesome.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Happily Gray and your whole journey. And I hope we find fun ways to work together. I'm really inspired by you. And I really love all your honesty and all that. So more to come.
Thank you so much. Hopefully I'll see you in Charleston.
Yes, that'd be fun. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.